Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 26. We shall read together in unison these five verses. Yes. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Amen. The title for our meditation and instruction out of God's Word today is The Faithfulness of God. And title for our thought, Great is Thy Faithfulness. How faithful is your God? I begin today with a little anecdote. In one tracting session, we came across this old man living in a little hut, Ah Seng by name. We told him about the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, I have a greater God. Pointed to the shelf, and there was an idol which he made. He says, my God is very powerful, faithful always to rain through shine. Every day He guards over me. I made it. We tried to witness, but he was very confident. My God is faithful. One day the rains came. Now, by the way, this was a neighbor behind our house. I'm telling on behalf of someone else, not myself. And the rains came and the floods began to rise. And when the flood was high enough, Ah Seng saw that he was surrounded by water. He called out, help, help, help. So we went there, and there was poor Ah Seng. We would rescue him from the flood. But he says, look, my God is floating away in the water. Save my God. He said, Ah Seng, you said your God is so powerful to protect you, so faithful, so good. How is it that He's not protecting you today? My dear friends, it sounds like a simple story, but there is an actual event that happened in the old Life Church, right? Our God is not made with hands, but He dwells supreme in heaven. Do you know Him? How good is He to you? Great is thy faithfulness is the theme today. Do you know Him as a faithful God to you? How do you know? What is your experience? This Creator is the one who made us and remade us, who saves us, who promises to save us. At the very dawn of creation, in Genesis chapter 3, He says, I will put enmity between you, Satan, serpent, and the woman, between your seed and her seed. Her seed will bruise your hand, the promise of the Savior. Please understand. At the dawn of creation, God promised a Savior, seed of woman. Isaiah the prophet in chapter 9 says, unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Almighty God, the Prince of Peace. Do you know Him? The Son of God came according to promise, born of a virgin, told to us in the Gospels. This is the Gospel of Jesus Christ, to tell us of God's faithfulness, what He promised, thousands of years ago, prophesied by the prophets through the ages, sent to us and told to us in the gospel, He is the one we worship today. He is faithful. Do you know Him, my dear friends? Today is a very happy day, but I have chosen the saddest book in the Bible to bring forth the happy message. Please turn with me to Lamentations in your Bible. Lamentations chapter 1. For here we see how God's faithfulness will shine through in this wonderful book called Lamentations. Why should we, on a day of great celebration, talk of lamentations? You know what is lamentation? Ever been to a funeral? And this is a funeral dirge, a kind of a very sad song that we are reading about, and written by one prophet that is outstanding. Do you know him? Do you know who he is? Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. He saw when God called him to be the prophet to his people, he saw, Oh my people, how they have sinned against God, and the righteous God has punishment coming for them. So that the city of Jerusalem was devastated, destroyed. People taken captive, exiled to a foreign land, and the land was laid waste. Chapter 1, verse 1. Please see, it is a very sad account. Jeremiah saw it and wrote about it for our instruction, our learning today. Verse 1 says, How doth the city sit solitary? Once it was full of people. Now it is like a widow. Why? Verse 3 says, Judah has gone into captivity because of affliction that God has sent to it. Verse 4, The ways of Zion do mourn because none come to the solemn feast, because all her gates are desolate. And the priest sighed. Verse 12 says Jeremiah to us. Verse 12 is a very sad verse, you know. Is it nothing to you, my people, all ye that pass by, as passengers observing? You're not part of the act. What do you see? Behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, my people, God's people, Israel, in all of history, none have suffered like Israel. True? Today, Israel is still suffering. Every time at the United Nations, they are outvoted, completely outvoted, isolated. The worst is yet to come. God's people are going through a time of great sorrow. So, the first point I want to make here is that God's people's transgressions will be rewarded by God's chastisement. And what God has done to His people applies to us. Do not say, well, Israel is Israel. There is a story, there's a lesson out of the story. What God has done to His people allowed Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans and the Babylonians to come and overrun the country, to destroy the city, carry away the captives. It is a picture of God's wrath on His disobedient people, and it is a lesson for all of us to learn. Hebrews chapter 12. Please turn there quickly. I will read to you. Hebrews 12:6 says, For whom the Lord loves, He chasteneth, scourgeth every son whom He receiveth, while there is punishment chastisement, scourging, and chastening. Yet it is the treatment reserved for sons such as you and I. Israel was being punished. Did it mean that God had written off Israel? By no means. God had not written off Israel, but sending them chastisement. Verse 11 of Hebrews 12 again. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. My friends, is anyone going through a time of suffering? Remember, maybe the hand of God on you. Maybe sickness. Maybe disappointment. Maybe failure. Maybe accident. Maybe some kind of terrible event. Is God speaking to you? God chastens in love. He is a faithful God, and He, when you came to Him and took Him as your Savior, He received you into His covenant love. And His covenant does not fail. All those of our friends this morning who came up here to receive Jesus, remember, by the act of public confession and baptism, you are joined into the family of Jesus Christ and come into His covenant relationship. And the Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, for you are mine. We all belong to Him as a covenant people. But whenever we sin and fall away, God chastens. And we feel uncomfortable, painful, sometimes rebellious. But remember, God is ever faithful. He will never go back on His word that you are His. He is your Savior, your Heavenly Father. Jeremiah saw this. He was called to minister to Israel in a time of darkest gloom. How sad it is. God calls him to minister to His people and see all these terrible invasion, destruction, and exile, captivity coming on His people. Jeremiah warned His people, God will punish. All His warnings were given with tears. Have we ever before the Lord confessed our sins with tears? Here Jeremiah is confessing the sins for his people with tears. Perchance my people will listen to know that God is sending this one, this terrible invasion and destruction for one purpose. That my people may turn to me. May return to the God of their salvation. So in the midst of this chastisement, Jeremiah saw beyond the gloom all these terrible happenings, one great gleam of hope. Far away, hope is coming. The Savior is coming. God will save. Do we have that confidence? We have a God who will never forsake us. The God of the covenant, faithful. In affliction, it is affection. Even as a father chastises the son, it is out of affection. But the son feels so painful. So it is. So I say, dear friends, on this 27th anniversary, not all are on top of the world, not all of us. There will be difficulties, sicknesses, disappointments. In Vancouver, I went to pray for three people who are near death. One has a disease called Lou Gehrig disease. When I saw her 2 years ago, she was able to communicate. By this time, she lies in a bed, immobile, moves nothing, only the eyes, and only a nod. I spoke to her. I said, do you remember me 2 years ago? Can I pray with you? We pray. Her life is at the lowest ebb. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? You call upon Him? That's all. God is faithful. This person has put her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another one. Afflicted with Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's is a cerebral degeneration of the brain. That all the faculties slowly are eaten away. Gone away. Now she just barely recognizes the person. However, she has not lost her faith. I said, shall we pray? Yes. Shall we sing the songs of heaven? Yes. God will take care of you. We sing. We're happy. We pray together. God is faithful even to these who have no hope. Another sister. We saw her last year. Year before last. Very well. When she got home to Vancouver, found to have cancer. Stage 4. So we pray. She says, it is so painful. Yes. But the Lord is gracious. Do you know Him? Yes. All I ask is that God will take me home soon. That I may not go through this for too long. Oh, God is faithful. He promises to those who trust in Him, even at the very last ebb of life, life is ebbing away. They know absent from the body is present with the Lord. Jeremiah spoke to his people, but they did not listen to him. How sad it is. Oh, God is grateful, is faithful. May we turn now to Psalm 103 that we may quickly see how great a God we have who is so faithful. Psalm 103, that we may understand His faithfulness. How is He faithful to you? We are reading verses 8, 10, and 13. Verse 8. Psalm 103, verse 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy to all His people. Dear friends, are you one of His today? Any friend or visitor who has not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, please consider. When you come and believe in Him and receive Him as Savior, He is a Father to you. He is merciful, verse 8, gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy, faithful to you till the end. When you receive Him as Savior, He receives you as a son, and He will be faithful to you till the end. Do you know? Do you trust in Him? Look at verse 10. He does not deal with you after your sins, nor reward you according to your iniquities. How wonderful a statement. To know that I have a God who knows all my weaknesses, all my sins, and does not punish me exactly according to what I deserve. Why? Because He's faithful. My friends, never despair. Never say, well, God has written me off. No. He does not write you off, but He is not willing that any should perish. Why? Because He's faithful and He's concerned. He's loving. He wants everyone to hear the gospel and receive Jesus Christ in salvation. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance because He is a faithful God. Verse 13, He is like a father to you. He pities you like His child. Do you know Him? Do you pray to Him every day? Call upon Him. In your sickness, in your sadness, in your disappointment, in all the calamities of life that may come to you, call on Him. He is still your Father. By covenant, He's bound to you.
You are bound to him. You are precious to him. He is faithful. Never you desert him.
Verse 13. He is like a father pities you like a child. So the Lord pities them who fear him. How well do you know him? How well do you fear him? He is faithful to us through all circumstances of life today. Happy 27th anniversary. Is the Lord with us? Turn to Psalm 126, that you know how wonderful a God he is. Psalm 126, verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Amazing! You ever dreamed of God's mercies coming to you? The heavenly place is prepared for you and me. Dream! Maybe not, but here it is. When God liberated his people, it was like a dream come true. Because God is faithful, and after 70 years, he brought them all back to the land. God is faithful. Verse 2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, our tongue with singing. And they said among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Not for them only, but for us. Here we are in Pandan. Do you know how good God is? Have you been with us for 27 years? How many? Not many. Most of you have joined us afterwards, but look at verse 3. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. We are glad because God is faithful and always true to his word. I'll end with this testimony of God's goodness. 1956, amazingly, 10-year intervals, right? And 1956 is exactly 50 years ago. God sent me. I never planned it. Dear friends, have you all heard of a place called Belfast? Until then, I had never heard of a place like that. And for some reason unknown to me, God sent me to Belfast. God was planning the future for me. And in the 3 years, it was like as an exile. You know what is the exile? Banished away from home, from Singapore. I never saw my wife for 26 months. Spoke to her on the phone for 3 times unsuccessfully because most times she broke up in tears and we couldn't talk. Those days were not days of handphones, you know. To have a phone call, you got to book with the central telephone office in the hospital where I lived. And when the call comes, you quickly run quickly because every second counts. 1 minute was £1. 3 minutes, £3. That's my day's pay. Wow. It was like an exile. 1956. But God had a plan. God was faithful. God opened the way for me. I never planned to go to Belfast, but God sent me there. Those of you who have attended the Footprints series, I've told you all the details. You know, after 3 years, when I came back to Singapore, before I left, in the hospital, my ranking was number 8. When I came back, I was number 2. Who did it? My friends, you belong to a department. How fast does it take for you to climb from 8 to number 2? The next year, my professor called Benjamin Shears resigned. And I became number 1. Is that a great glory? In a sense, yes, but dear friends, God was faithful. He had a purpose to put me there, to do a work for the government, which I accomplished. Then I left. For the vow that I had promised God, I would serve him. Of course, if I'm put there in the number 1 position, I got to do my job, right? You're the professor and the head of department, you got something to do, which I did. But in the process, God enabled me to go around the world to the highest, most foremost medical centers, 14 of them in America, and all those in the British Isles and Australia.
to put the department on the world map. And for me, it was a training in speaking before kings and princes. Not easy for you to appear in Johns Hopkins, in London, in Harvard, and preach, but talk to the people about the research in Kandang Kerbau KK Hospital. Who did it? My friends, I never planned it. I'm saying that three times now, you know that. God planned it. God was merciful and faithful. God was faithful, says, you, I'm going to put you there in the top position. That you will one day speak to kings and princes around the world. 1976. I left the university in 1969. By 1976, having built the church in Jurong, we said to the Lord, now Jurong is full, what shall we do? God sent me there. 1976 to the Jurong Town Corporation, JTC. And lo and behold, the result of that trip was they gave us 49,000 square feet of land where this church stands today without having to bid and tender. You know, today you bid and tender, it could be $300, $400 a square foot. How much will 49,000 square foot come to? At the least, at $200, it's $10 million. $10 million. Did we have the money? No. But when God sent us, God says, I will go before you. I will open the door for you. I am the God of the impossible things, the owner of all the cattle on the hills, the mining, the thousand gold mines. All those things belong to me. God is able. We got this free of charge, except paying rent. We have a faithful God, dear friends. We're sitting here in comfort today. In those days when we went there, we did not have a cent. How did it happen? God is faithful. When He sends, He also provides. When He calls you, He also empowers. We have a faithful God. Dare you believe in Him? 1976. You say, how does that relate to our 27 years here? 2076 will be 30 years. True? Yes. From the time we got the lease, then we begin to plan and to draw and to get tendered and to build. By the time we finish, was 1979. That's how we get 27 years today, right? All right. 1986. We said, the gospel mandate is go into all the world, but we never, never at any time dreamt that we will ever go into Australia. In fact, Australia was very far from me. One day in this sanctuary, after preaching, when I walked down, there was a man there, illiterate, non-English speaking, by the name of Mr. Sito. And he says, Dr. To, I'm going to birth Australia as a migrant and a citizen. When my house is ready, will you come and do a church? I said, yes, who are you? How come you can go to Australia as a migrant? He says, I worked in Christmas Island, and for that they reward me with the citizenship of Australia. But I want you to come and do a church in my house. Praise the Lord. That's it. Yes, I'll go immediately. 1986, the gospel reached Australia through Calvary Pandat Bible Presbyterian Church. Oh, my friends, we have a wonderful God who is so faithful to send us forth. Today, dear friends, our children can go to Perth, Melbourne, Sydney, Adelaide, London, Toronto, Vancouver. All these are European kind of societies, understand? Yes, those are European. And our children can go there and find Bible-believing, Bible-practicing, Bible-preaching churches in all these places. God is good. He opened the way. He is faithful. We are nothing. We are nothing. But God used nothing kind of people to make them something for Him. 2006, latest. 3 days ago, we received the writ of summons. Amazing! It has never happened in the history of the BP Church for 55 years. Never, never. But now it comes to this church. Somebody who is bold enough to attack and assault the pastors. You know what the Bible says? Touch not the Lord's anointed. Touch not. David, the king, never at any time said anything bad about his king, Saul, who was a very rotten man. And yet David never dared to even touch him, but always held him in the highest honor. For what? He is the Lord's anointed. Now here is a man who claims to be a preacher, evangelist, number one chess player in Singapore. He is all out to destroy the pastors with all kinds of accusations, falsely. And I say, Lord, according to your teaching, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so did they abuse the prophets of old. They say all manner of things falsely against you. I say, thank God, rejoice, that we can have a taste of it. But to the one who causes these false accusations, God has a hand. You please pray for the two pastors. The writ of summons has come. We ask the lawyer, how much will it cost? Well, anything from $200,000 to $300,000. So what if you have no money? He says, well, too bad. You have no lawyers, you lose the case. My friends, you pray and God will defend us. For we stand here as God's servants, and with your prayers, with your concern, we know the outcome is settled. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And if men will accuse us wrongly, maliciously, God knows. So I say, see God's goodness and faithfulness. Over 50 years, unchanging. It can go on for 500 years. God is still unchanging, faithful to the end. Do you know Him? Do you trust Him? Now, what is our response? Back here, please. This is our response. Verse 24. Can you say this with Jeremiah the prophet? Verse 24. Say this, my friend. You say to yourself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore will I hope in Him. Yes, we face this issue of going to court. By the way, some people say, when will it be? I say, I don't know. But the lawyer says, it can take between 6 and 9 months before you actually stand in court. So this means a lot of time to do homework. So pray for us. Pray for us. But verse 24 says, the Lord is my portion. What have I to fear? If the Lord is with me, what have I got to fear? Verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. Teach us, therefore, how to wait on the Lord. Wait for Him. Don't be impatient. Don't get excited. And never despair. For our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Verse 26. It's good for a man that he should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. No matter what that person would want to say against me, he calls me guilty of criminal breach of trust, misappropriation of funds, meaning to say, that man steals the money of the church. He goes overseas, you know what he does. He's got private business enterprise overseas, oh man. The Lord knows He's faithful. Watch, I urge you just one thing, dear friends, join with us in prayer. For the prayer of the righteous man availeth much. The fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. You please pray with us. So this is our response. God is faithful.
While he chastens, he does not write you off. But in the end, what, you know what? He will write his law in your heart if you endure the chastening. He will write his law on your heart and in your mind that you will love him ever afterwards. And finally, wait on the Lord. Pray with us for God's salvation to be seen in the day to come. God is faithful. Let us trust in him. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, I thank thee for today's 27th anniversary. To know that thou who has begun a good work in us will surely perform it, perfect it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Bless your people here today, that we may all stand as one, united in the cause of our Savior, Jesus Christ. His name alone be magnified, for he is faithful and he is worthy to be praised. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen.